I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Preaching from verses 28 and 29 today. I'll back up and begin in verse 13 so you catch the flow of what is happening here in Hebrews 11. This is God's Word. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, and truly if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, and that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. Leadership is a very popular topic today. You can read lots of books and blogs and podcasts that have to do with leadership. It's not just leadership in the church. The whole world is interested in leadership. You can find it in business and in politics and in all sorts of different arenas of life. Most people, though, when they study leadership, we'll approach it from really a human perspective. So they'll think of sociology or psychology and come up with a variety of different very popular methods of leadership. While those studies are interesting, I'm more interested today in what the Bible says about leadership. And today, most interested in what Hebrews says about the relationship between leadership and faith. This comes through especially in the relationship between Moses and the children of God that's related in just these two verses. You'll remember that these two verses are gathering together all of these great acts of God. And in one short sentence, we have a reminder of what God has done to accomplish salvation for the children of Israel. And so today I want you to hear about Moses' leadership and how he led by faith. That's something of a summary statement for us for the message today. That faith then is demonstrated in this way. It's a faith that followed God, a faith that inspired faith, a faith that calmed fears, and a faith that led to Jesus. Let me show you how that is from these verses. We'll start with a faith that leads, or a faith that leads by following God. Think back to the verses previous and where we were last week. The last time that we saw Moses, he was scared for his life. He had murdered an Egyptian. And Exodus 2 says that Pharaoh wanted to arrest him and put him to death. And so Moses fled to Midian. Now, I just read in verse 27 what Hebrews says, that Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. What gives here? Those two accounts don't seem to be quite the same. What's going on is actually pretty familiar as we've been looking at these Old Testament characters. Over and over again, we've seen how they acted by faith, how God had graciously redeemed them, drawn them to himself, and they understand those promises of God. As Hebrews says, they see them from afar, they embrace them. But in their embracing of those promises from afar, there are times in which they misunderstood their own role in the accomplishment of those promises. So Abraham, thinking he was to have a child, said, well, I'm not having one with Sarah. Maybe I should take her concubine, Hagar. In other words, there's an understanding of the promise, but then trying to take matters into their own hands. And there's something of the same thing happening here for Moses. We know that Moses had been raised by his very own parents. And just so happened, as we saw last week, that providentially Moses was preserved and was then given the opportunity to be raised by his own parents and later to go to live with Pharaoh's daughter. During that time, as I put it last week, I believe that his parents led Moses to understand this is not our home. We as slaves have another home that God has promised. And God has said that we will return there. And many commentators suggest that Moses' parents attached their hope of that deliverance on Moses himself. And that's why when it says they saw that he was a beautiful child, the commentators are saying, well, it's not just that he was a cute baby. They are attaching covenant promise hope on Moses. And they're thinking that this may be the one that God would use to deliver us from our affliction. So Moses was raised with this hope of returning out of Egypt to the land of Canaan, and with some concept that he had a role to play in that deliverance. So when Moses had grown up and went out to see his people, there was a moment of truth that happened. He saw an Egyptian beating an Israelite, and he had to choose, am I going to be the prince of Egypt or a Hebrew slave? But there's more than that going on. Not only was he choosing to be a Hebrew slave, but it's, in a sense, he was choosing to play the role that he believed he was born to play. The Savior of Israel. He embraced the promises from afar. There is deliverance coming. But then it seems he took matters into his own hands to try to accomplish them. But that wasn't God's way. It wasn't God's purpose. And we've already seen in Hebrews 11 that God will always accomplish his purposes. That even though we are faithless sometimes, or even though we are mistaken in our understanding of those promises, God's will cannot be thwarted. And so, Moses needed to learn humility. Moses needed to learn to follow God. This is the way the commentator Phillips puts it. Moses knew that God had called him to deliver the people, and true, his attempt to free the people had failed, and yes, Moses became afraid, but his faith in God overcame his fear, and he left to wait upon the Lord. He left to wait upon the Lord. He went to the land of Midian and was there for 40 years. But those years were not empty years. He was learning there to follow God rather than to take things into his own hands. And so at the right time, God came to Moses in the burning bush. God came and he revealed himself as the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He revealed his plan to redeem Israel out of Egypt. And yes, Moses would have a role to play in that, but Moses needed to learn that God would deliver Israel, not Moses. That God was the Savior of Israel. And so he needed to learn in a way that would follow after God. And faith does that. God shapes all of us and shapes leaders through faith. He shapes us to follow after him. You've probably all known leaders that were more interested in themselves and more interested in making sure you knew who was the boss. And we've all come across leaders like that. That's a negative example of the biblical idea of what Moses was and the leadership that he exercises by faith. Christian leaders do that. They follow God. And you can do that because of faith. You can lead in a way that says, like Paul does in the New Testament, follow me as I follow Christ. And Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. His accomplishments would have put him in the who's who of the ancient world. But he wasn't saying, follow me because of my credentials. He said, follow me as I follow Jesus. And that's the type of leadership that is born out of faith. It follows God. The faith also inspires faith. That's the second thing that comes through in this passage. It comes through in verse 28 in this verse that has to do with the first Passover. When Moses returned to Egypt, God had already told them, Pharaoh is not going to listen to you. God said, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart so that the deliverance that happens would make it clear who is the victor. Who is God? It was the victory of the invisible and true God over all of the false gods that were visible to the Egyptians. So the Lord brought plague after plague on Egypt. And it's an interesting study that these plagues can be applied to many of the false gods of Egypt. And the Lord was just humbling one after another through these plagues. By the end of these plagues, Egypt had been brought to its knees economically, emotionally, but more importantly, spiritually. But still, the Pharaoh hardened his heart. God brought one last plague on Egypt. He sent his angel of death through the land of Egypt. And that angel would kill the firstborn of man and beast all throughout Egypt, from the highest to the lowest, from Pharaoh to the slave. The angel of death would come upon Egypt. But not upon the people of God. They would be protected from the angel of death by the blood of a lamb painted on the frame of their house. And so the Lord told Moses what was about to happen. He instructed him about how the children of Israel would be delivered by taking that lamb, 1 year old, without spot or blemish, and sacrificing it, and taking its blood and using it to paint over the frame of the house, so that when the angel of death came to that door, it would say, "This household is marked by the blood of the lamb. This household belongs to me." And so the angel would pass over that household. The day of deliverance had come, and Moses believed. We know that he believed because he went and he told the people what to do. He didn't say to God, "Oh, that's interesting." Close the book and set it aside for the day. "Oh, that's interesting." No, he believed what God said, and he went with an earnest and urgent message to the Israelites, and he told them of the angel of death that was going to pass by. And just imagine that earnest appeal that he made to them to follow the words of life that were given to them. And then think of the great hope and anticipation that also flavored that message. The deliverance is here. This is how God is going to bring us out. And by faith, the people listened to Moses and they did what he instructed. They were inspired by his faith to act in faith as well. And so they celebrated that first Passover under the sign of blood, because they believed Moses' message. Well, even secular leadership understands this principle, right? A coach comes and motivates his team to supreme effort. Teachers go into their classroom and they inspire learning and knowledge. CEOs cast the vision for the company so that everyone buys in and follows. Leaders inspire. And Christian leadership can have some of those elements too, but more importantly, Christian leadership inspires faith, not in the individual leader, but in the invisible God. This happens for leadership really on all different levels. For Christians on all different levels. It's true for pastors and elders in the church. But it's also true for you as parents in your home and the exercise that you, and the leadership you exercise there. It happens as you have roles to play in your workplace. It happens as you gather peer to peer and you get together with other believers and are encouraged in your Christian walk. That's faith inspiring faith. And as you bind yourself together with other believers, and as you exercise leadership in the areas that you have authority, you have a role given you by God to inspire others in their Christian walk. And you can do that because, again, like Paul, you are following after Jesus Christ. It's not a gathering together of those that will praise and worship you. It is all oriented towards following after God. So faith follows God. Faith inspires faith. Thirdly, faith calms fears. That word appears twice in this passage about Moses, from the earlier verses and on. Moses' parents were not afraid of the king's command, and Moses did not fear the wrath of the king. What I want to show you, though, is another place where fear comes up in this passage, and it has to do with the Red Sea. I read about it in Exodus chapter 14. After that night of the Passover, the Pharaoh said, "Get out of my country, get out, get out, get out." And they left, And they went into the wilderness and they camped in a place that was right up next to the Red Sea. Now, God had a purpose in this. Remember that His cloud was leading them? God took them to exactly this place. And it's significant because after having told them to get out, the Pharaoh says, later, what have I just done? We just lost all our workers. I changed my mind again. Call out the armies. Let's go get them. And so he assembles a huge army and his choice chariots to go chasing after the Israelites. And remember where God had camped them? Right up against the Red Sea. So when the armies marched against them, they were trapped. And the people were afraid. People were afraid. And it almost breaks your heart to read how quickly they turn against Moses and against the Lord. They cry out to the Lord, but then they cry out against Moses. Why did you bring us out here? I remember saying at the very beginning, don't mess with this. It's better for us to serve the Egyptians. You brought us out here to die. What were you thinking? But listen to what Moses says. Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. The Lord will fight for you. And then just to complete that narrative, remember what God did. The angel of the Lord who was leading the children of Israel moved from being in front of the Israelites to go back and stand behind them to guard them from the Egyptians. And the pillar of cloud also came and separated the two so that the Egyptians could not attack the Israelites. And then the Lord said to Moses to lift up your rod over the Red Sea. And as he did so, the Red Sea parted. Literally parted. And the Israelites went through on dry ground. And it describes the wall of water on either side that they walked between. I was talking to a man this week and I was telling him what I was going to preach, and he said, this surely has to be the greatest miracle of the Old Testament. And I said, you know, there's some truth in that. It stands second to the resurrection, doesn't it? There's a reason for that I'll just sow a little seed. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. The Lord divided those waters. The Israelites passed through. The Egyptians tried to follow. And the Lord troubled them. He took off the wheels of the chariots. And then commanded Moses to raise his rod again. And the waters flooded back over the Egyptians. And not one of them escaped. The Lord delivered them. Faith calms fears. Faith addresses those fears. It doesn't mean that there are no fears in the Christian life. It doesn't mean that you will be protected from every bad thing that happens. That's not the way of the Christian life. Rather, the way of the Christian life is that God says, I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will be with you through fire and water. And I will bring you through whatever that tragedy is. And faith then faces those fears. By faith, Moses followed the command of God. Who would ever have thought that the waters of the Red Sea would part? And did you notice that the command to move forward came before the waters had parted? And by faith, their fears were addressed. And the people responded once again in faith, believing that word of God through Moses. Finally, faith leads to Jesus. I hope you haven't tired and never tire of hearing how the Old Testament saints saw Jesus. Moses learned this very important lesson. He embraced God's covenant promises, but had tried to take things into his own hands. Moses learned that he was not the deliverer, that God is the Savior, that the Lord would fight for them, that the Lord would accomplish salvation. And that deliverance from Egypt comes to stand as a powerful, dramatic picture of the salvation that would come through Jesus Christ. And as you read throughout the Old Testament, you'll find that many of the prophets will refer back to the Exodus, the bringing out of the people of God as a sign of what was to come, a sign of the promised Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's remarkable, as you begin to think about it, it's remarkable to see some of the similarities between the Exodus and our deliverance through Jesus Christ. I'm going to mention a few, but these are some things that you can meditate on. So think of our condition before Jesus Christ has acted. We're born in bondage to sin. We're dead in that sin, and there's no way we can do anything to deliver ourselves. We're not even interested in salvation before Jesus acts. Much like the children of Israel were in bondage. Our condition is not the only thing. The Israelites were brought out by God's grace and his mighty power. And we can say too that Jesus fights for us. That's what was proclaimed at the very first promise of Jesus back in Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman will crush the head of the enemy. Jesus will fight for you. And he has done just that by his life and death on the cross. You are brought out of that bondage. You're brought out from under the spiritual forces that held you in bondage. He has delivered you into freedom, into his kingdom, into his service. Just as God delivered the Israelites from the Egyptians. And notice the similarities in the signs that are given in the Old Testament. There is a lamb that is killed and whose blood would indicate this one belongs to me. And in Jesus we have the Lamb of God whose blood accomplishes that redemption. We have the breathtaking power of God as he parts the Red Sea and the people pass through to life and freedom. And in Jesus Christ, we have the even more awesome power of God over death itself as Jesus rose again from the dead. It's a faith that leads to Jesus. And Moses was looking forward and endured because he saw the invisible God. He saw the Lord who was the covenant Lord, and he counted him as the greatest treasure of all. So faith leads to Jesus. Don't make the mistake then of thinking the story of Moses teaches you as Disney would teach you. What's the theme of a Prince of Egypt? You can do miracles if you believe. Now that song's going to be running through your head all the rest of the day, right? Yeah, that's the message. You can do miracles if you believe. Well, that's not the message of Moses. Faith isn't about you. Faith is about Jesus. So let your faith latch on to your Savior. Latch on to Jesus Christ in a way that leads others to Him as well. Well, Moses led by faith. A faith that followed God. A faith that inspires faith. A faith that calmed fears and a faith that led to Jesus. May God nurture your faith through Moses' example. Let's pray. O Lord God, You are the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep. Thank You, O God, that our faith rests on Him. I pray, O God, that in our lives, that our faith would be a shining example of that, just as Moses's was. Lord, we confess that there are times that we try to take matters into our own hands. I pray that You would teach us a proper balance of against presumption and then moving forward in faith, resting in You as decisions are made. And Lord, I pray that we would be inspired by the stories of faith that we hear from one another, by the leadership that You give to us, by the leadership that we exercise in our homes and in our community. For Lord, we are Your sheep. We pray that as we follow You, that we may invite others to follow us as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.